Some of you may be familiar with a Stephen Sondheim musical called Into the Woods, which is a retelling of many of the fairy tales that we're all going to be familiar with in a way that intersect one another so that new stories come out of it. And it begins, the play begins, with three storylines of some of these fairy tale characters who really deeply desire something. They really ask for something. First, we meet the baker and his wife. And the baker and his wife are childless. And they long for nothing more than to have a baby. Then we meet Jack, who is a poor farm boy who lives with his mother, who is forced to part to sell his beloved cow because the cow won't produce any milk. And then, of course, we meet Cinderella, who, as I'm sure you know, longs to go to the king's festival. And as the play begins, they each find ways to get what they're asking for. The baker and his wife meet a witch who knows about their story and knows that there's a spell that's been cast on them and tells them what they have to do to break that spell. And Jack finds a beanstalk, climbs up to the land of the giants, and finds enough gold so that he doesn't have to sell the cow. And Cinderella goes to the festival, meets a prince, and gets married. They all get what they ask for. They all live, and you can say it with me if you want, they all live happily ever after, until the intermission. Because all this happens in the first act of the play. When the curtain comes up on the second act, we see that they got what they were asking for, but that there was quite a bit more to the story. We meet the baker and his wife again, who have had their baby, but they're learning that they need a lot more room. Jack now has all the money that he needs. He and his mother have all that they need, but Jack now longs for the adventure of the kingdom that he found at the top of the beanstalk. And Cinderella, who has found Prince Charming and settled down with him, is finding that she's a little bit bored. The second act begins on the premise: be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. I remember hearing that growing up. And that phrase in this play that I saw years ago came to my mind as I was reading the gospel this week and thinking about what Jesus was talking about when he talks about prayer and what it means to pray and to ask God for things. Jesus, of course, goes much farther than saying, be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. Jesus says, we do get what we ask for. We do get what we ask for, especially when those things that we pray for have something to do with drawing us closer to God. When we come to God and we ask to be drawn closer, and we ask not only in words, but in our choices and our actions and our intentions, things happen. Now, our experience tells us maybe it doesn't always happen on the schedule that we expect, but they do happen. And I think of that as a real sign of God's love and abundance. But you know, if it's true, we might want to be very careful about what we ask for and about how we ask and what that means. Now, the question comes up when the disciples come up to Jesus and simply say, Lord, teach us to pray. They don't come up to Jesus and ask him to teach them how to pray so that they get what they want. It's not phrased like that at all. They knew Jesus to be a man of deep prayer. He would often step away from them and from the crowds to be alone with God. Remember, Jesus would sometimes get in a boat and go across to the other shore because it was so important to have that time where he was alone with God. And so there was just something about that impacted how Jesus spoke and lived and moved. In fact, when they come up to him in the gospel today, we're told that Jesus was in a certain place. I almost think of that as he's always in a certain place. Whether he's with us, talking when he's talking with the disciples, whether he's alone, he's in that place. And the disciples were drawn to it. And so they said, Lord, how do you do that? Tell us about it. And so Jesus did, and he gave them several gifts of ways of thinking about prayer. And one, he gave them words that are familiar to us, the words that we call the Lord's Prayer. And he talked to them a little bit about why we pray. But he also said something that really, really got my attention. When he said, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now these three are of a piece. They all fit together. I think our wholeness and the depth of our prayer lives, I think it depends on all three of these things being a part of the journey. Ask, search, and knock. Now we all know what it means to ask, because that's where we begin our journey. My 9-month-old daughter, Amelia, she doesn't speak yet, well, not words, but she knows how to ask. She knows how to ask for things. If she wants to be picked up, what does she do? She puts her arms up like this. And I understand what she's asking for. And I want to pick her up because I want her to be happy. And I want her to feel loved. And I want to feel that love. And I'm also a big sucker. And doesn't God want the same thing for each of us? But as we begin asking, and then we mature, and that's when we begin searching, looking deeper. And I think that when Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you, search and you'll find, knock and the doors will be open, I don't think that's just repetition. I don't think that just means you'll get this, you'll find this, and this will open. I think that Jesus is inviting us to a deeper experience of prayer and openness. Because if we ask, but that's where we stop, we don't search and we don't knock, then our prayer lives might just stay at the surface and not go to those places where we meet God in a whole new way. What we need to do, I think, is to broaden our perspective on what it means to ask and what it means to be in conversation with God. I think that to search, as we're being invited here, to search is to discern and explore ways of growing deeper in our walk with God. And it sometimes means being intentional about our own journey and why we're asking and what it is that we need. To knock is to be willing to make ourselves vulnerable, to risk something of ourselves as we enter these new spaces and new relationships. And the reason why all three of these are important and go together is because a life lived searching and knocking will change us. And it will change what we ask for. A life lived searching and knocking is going to change us. And I believe it's going to change what we ask for. It gets us away from our surface understandings of ourselves and of God. And it opens us up to what is possible, to what exists in God's imagination. Because if we can't imagine it, how can we ask for it? And it's so important that we do this, that we look deeper in our prayer lives. Because when we spend our lives searching and knocking, seeking and discerning, then when things don't happen according to plan, that's okay. Or at least that's not as devastating to our view of ourselves and our relationship with God, because there are going to be times in our lives when things don't go our way, when we have prayed and prayed and yet it doesn't. And our response, there are a number of potential responses there. One, and I know a number of folks who have done this, who have gone through something hard and prayed, and it didn't happen the way they wanted it to, and they threw up their hands and said, prayer doesn't work. It's just superstition. And walked out the doors of the church and didn't return. Or another response, and this is maybe even scarier, is the idea is when folks go through something very painful and they pray and things don't happen the way they want to, they start thinking, wait, am I not worthy for something here? Have I done something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? And we try so hard to get past that, but you probably all know folks who have gone to that place. But I believe if we can learn to view prayer not just as the asking, but as the searching and discerning and knocking, then these questions of worthiness and am I good enough, they lose their power over us and they drift away. And this is where we come to the why of prayer. Not just why do we pray, but why might God want us to pray? Why might God want us to pray? I think it's because God wants to be in relationship with us through our prayers. Like a good parent, God wants for us to experience the fullness of life. It's not about us being good. It's not about us being worthy. It's about God wanting good things for us. And through prayer, we come to desire those same good things. Through prayer, we come to desire those good things. And we begin to see at a deeper level what I think Jesus really meant when he taught us how to pray. His invitation was to approach prayer as this lifelong conversation with God, a journey of discernment and of seeking, in which we are unafraid to ask, in which we have a deep desire to seek, in which we are eager to knock on the doors that lead us ever closer to the heart of God. Ask, he said, and you shall receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. And then, ask again, because you will find yourself changed by the journey.